The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Pastor.
I'd like to join together with those who've stood before you and welcome you this morning. We are glad to be here, and another year begins. Amen. And God, by His grace, gives us opportunity after opportunity to know Him better, to love Him, and to serve others. That should fill our hearts with joy. That should put gladness within us that God is such a gracious, merciful God. Let's bow our heads now for prayer. We have the Word of God before us, the Word of Almighty God in our hands. We need to hear what He says. Let's ask for His help right now. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And Lord, even as we come and we ask for your help as we look into your Word, we acknowledge it is your Word. Father, bring us to a place of humility. Bring us to a place of submission. Bring us to a place of openness that we would now receive with gladness and joy your precious Word. Father, we'll trust you to work in our hearts and our minds this morning. Give us understanding. Give us that desire, that thirst, that hunger for you through your Word this day. And God, as you bring this Word before us and you put it within us, Lord, we will trust you for a change, for a transformation that will take place by the power of the Scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. May we now glorify you and honor you and praise you because you are truly worthy. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, we pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Our study of the foundations for living, this is what we've been looking at now for over a year, has actually brought us to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been doing now for over a year. We've been looking at certain foundational truths from the Word of God that will just ground us and give us a rock solid foundation for living the Christian life. Well, Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation of the Bible. Jesus is the foundation of true Christianity. Jesus is the foundation of living our lives as Christians to the glory of God. So we now come to this doctrine of Jesus Christ. And frankly, folks, we could go in many, many, many directions as we think about the teaching of who Jesus is, of why Jesus came, of what He's like. But I'd like to go in two directions in our study. First of all, we'll look at certain passages of the writings of the Apostle John that we call the Gospel of John. And so we're going to spend some time in the Gospel of John. I don't know how much time, but some time in the Gospel of John to learn about Jesus, to see what God would have us know about Jesus through the writings of John. And then second, we'll look at the writings of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, concerning the Messiah in Isaiah 53. And so that's the general direction that we'll be looking at in the coming weeks. But we look first at the Gospel of John. Now, John, as we know, was one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ. He was one of that group of 12 men that Jesus called and trained and equipped to take the gospel to the ancient world. John was an apostle. He was a sent one, one who was sent forth with a message. He was a messenger of Jesus Christ. Now, when John wrote this book that we call the Gospel of John, he had a specific goal in mind. And folks, it was not a goal that John just conjured up himself. It was a goal that was given to John by God himself. Hold your place in John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and look at verse 31. We looked at this last week. We may remind you a few more times, even as we're in the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, look at verse 31. Here's the purpose. Here's the reason why John wrote this book. He says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So when we consider now these words by the Apostle John, we'd have to say that they pretty much sum up the goal of the Bible and the goal of God becoming human, and they should be the goal of everything that we do and say as Christians and as a church, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Folks, if I'm to be faithful to my calling and faithful to this ministry that God has entrusted me with, then my purpose in this preaching, each and every time that I stand before you as a pastor, each and every time that I stand before you as a teacher, then I must keep John's purpose in mind, which is God's purpose. I want you to believe in the Son of God, and believing have life in His name. Now, what have we looked at so far in our study of Jesus from the Gospel of John? Well, a few weeks back, we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and it was actually a summary look. We looked at the big picture truths about Jesus. He is called the Word. We looked at who He is, why He came. And we looked at the truth that overshadows all of this first part, this prologue of John's Gospel, that the Word is God. Jesus Christ is God. And then second, we looked at John chapter 1, verse 14. Last week, we looked at that verse. The Word became flesh. The eternal Son of God took on human flesh, became a man, the God-man. And He became a man to die as a man, and by His death and His resurrection would provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The God-man, Jesus Christ, did that. And folks, this is what Christmas is all about. But you know, this is what life is about. It's about Jesus. It's about this one who came, this one who became a man, this one who died and who was raised from the dead, and trusting in Him and believing in Him. When we put all these truths together, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, then we have the rock-solid, never-moving, never-changing foundation of Christianity in our lives, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is man. He is fully God. He is fully man. He came to this earth. He died. He was crucified, He was raised from the dead, and all those who trust in Him, all those who believe in Him, have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Today I want to go back to verses 1 through 5. There's some truth here that I think we need, and of course we need it. God gave it. I want to begin this first Sunday in the year 2014 speaking about Jesus as the light of the world, and specifically, the victory of light over darkness. Now look with me at John chapter 1, verse 5. Think about the victory of light over darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5. Look at what it says. I'd like to read it from the English Standard Version. It says this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And folks, what that means then is this: that the light is invincible. The light is victorious. The light is triumphant. It is not overcome by darkness. It's not defeated by darkness. Now, why is that? Why would John, through the Holy Spirit, write that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it? How could he say that? Why does darkness not overcome the light? How can we be sure today that the light will go on and completely overcome the darkness in victory? Well, John actually gives us several reasons in these first few verses why the light will conquer the darkness. So here's what we'll do. We'll first of all focus on the conflict between light and dark. We'll see that in verse 5. And then we'll look at the other verses and look at reasons why the light is victorious. So let's look now again. John chapter 1 verse 5, we see that light overcomes darkness. John says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now when John says here in verse 5 that light shines in the darkness, I believe he's actually talking about the incarnation. He's talking about God becoming man. The light shines in the darkness. The light has come, and the light is shining, and the light shines in the darkness. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ came into a dark world, and He is the light of the world. We were reminded of that earlier in our worship. Hold your place and turn to John chapter 8, and look at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. John writes, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Look at the words of Jesus. He says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus gives light. Jesus is the light, and He's the light of life. Go back to John chapter 1 and look at verses 9 through 11. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And again, I'll read this from the English Standard Version. John says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him." So it's plain when we look at these verses, whether it's John chapter 8 or whether it's John chapter 1, it's plain that Jesus is the one that's spoken about here. He's the light in verse 5. He's the one who shines in the darkness. Now, what is the darkness? Well, we understand the darkness would be the world of evil and unbelief and death and judgment and rebellion against God. This is a world that is ruled by Satan. It is embraced by the world of men. Turn to John chapter 3. Look at verses 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says it this way, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So we then understand then that this darkness that John speaks about in John chapter 1, this darkness is the power of evil. It's the power of unbelief. John chapter 1 verse 5 then is saying that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has entered into the darkness of evil and wickedness and unbelief and lostness and death and rebellion. And this darkness does not overcome Jesus. Look closely what John says, verse 5, "And the darkness has not overcome it." I would say to you this morning that this is a tremendous, this makes a huge difference to those of us who believe in Jesus, that Jesus overcomes the darkness. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 12 and look at verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus says here, John chapter 12, verse 46, He says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. In other words, believers, if you believe in Jesus, you pass from darkness to light. You move from that darkness, that evil, that wickedness, that unbelief. You move from that darkness to the light. Look at John chapter 12, verse 36. John 12, 36. Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Folks, what that means is that when we believe in Jesus, not only do we leave the darkness and we enter the light, but we actually become we become part of the family of the light. The family of the light. In other words, we become children of light. Paul would say it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He said, for you were once darkness. Let's let that sink in. For you were once darkness. That's true. That's true. We were once darkness, and all of what that darkness entails. We were once darkness. Paul says, for you were once darkness, but now, I love those kind of statements, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. Folks, it makes a huge difference to us if light conquers darkness and the darkness has not overcome the light. In other words, the light will be victorious. Jesus will triumph. Jesus will overcome the darkness. And all those who believe in Him, the children of the light, will be victorious with Him. And folks, we need to hear this today. We live in a world when we look around and it looks like that darkness is winning. It looks like that darkness is overcoming the light. We need to hear this because it looks like that darkness is gaining ground. Folks, we are facing things today that 20 years ago we would have thought unthinkable in our minds and in our lives. We're living in a time today when wickedness is called justice. We're living in a time today when evil is called righteousness, and righteousness is called evil. And you know, you can fill in the blanks with whatever you want to and how that's being worked out in our culture and our time today. It seems like in the last few years, almost on a monthly basis, we hear of actions by our government or groups that spin immorality and wickedness into righteousness or equality or justice. When I hear those things, I say and I cry out and it grieves me and I say, God, help us. God has helped us. He has helped us. This truth in John chapter 1 verse 5, we can stake our lives on. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus shines. The gospel shines. The church shines. Darkness will not overcome it. Now, how can we be sure of that? How can we be sure? You see, John didn't make this statement then just leave us hanging to say, well, how in the world is this going to happen? How does this work? How can we be sure that the light will win? John gives us several reasons. What I'd like to do is just work backward from John 5. John 5, that shows us this conflict between light and dark, and just work back from verse 5. Look at verse 4, because first of all, we see the light will win because the light is the life of the Son of God. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Folks, the light that shines in the darkness is the light of life. And it's not just any life, but it's the life of the Son of God. This is a living light. This is a life that shines, and a life that illumines, and a life that has power and purpose and motion. This is a life that is living and growing and expanding. This is a life that brings forth more life and more light. This is a light that shines in darkness, and darkness does not overcome it. It's a living light that has power and purpose and growth and reproduction. It's not a static light, but it's a living light that's the very life of the Son of God. And when that light shines in you, you will live and you will shine. When that life of the Son of God shines in you, that's exactly what Jesus said it would do. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus said that those who believe in Him are the light of the world. So when He puts His life and His light in His children, in His people, they will shine. Think about it. They will shine. He has put His light right here in Iowa City, Iowa. He's put His light here. His living, moving, working light in the lives of His people. He's put His life and His light where people can see it. He's put it in Cedar Rapids. He's put it in Lone Tree. He's put it in West Liberty, in North Liberty, in West Branch, on California Avenue, Triangle Place, American Legion, 400th Street, Saddlebrook, Modern Manor. God has put His light, the light of Jesus, there in those places. And you know why He's put it there in those places? So that you will shine in those places. And people will see the light of Jesus in you. God, through Jesus Christ, has done that. The light that is shining in these places is the very life of the Son of God that He has placed in you. Now, darkness may be strong in these places. Is darkness strong on California Avenue? Is darkness strong on Triangle Place? See, it's there. It's real. It's there. It may be strong. But verse 5 says that the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. And it will not overcome it because the light is the life of the Son of God. That's why there's victory. Look at verse 3. The light will win because the light is the creator of all things. The darkness will not overcome the light because the light is the creator of all things. John says all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now the hymn in verse 3 is the same hymn as verse 4, and the hymn there is the Word. It's Jesus. And so this living, moving, purposeful, growing, reproducing life that shines in the darkness is none other than the Creator of all things. The life that shines in the light is the life of the Creator of the universe. And so the powers and the purpose of darkness and unbelief and rebellion and wickedness and sin are not as strong as the life that is light, because this life is the Creator. This is the Creator. As a matter of fact, the darkness is actually a part of the Creator's purpose and plan. Verse 3, look at it. Without Him, without the Word, without the light, without the life, without Him, nothing was made that was made. Folks, no created thing is more powerful than the Creator. No created thing has more power than the Creator. But now wait, someone might say, but now wait a minute. Can't man make a computer with more knowledge than man? Can't man make a weapon that will destroy man? And you know, we'd have to say yes, but we would also have to say that there is an infinite difference between making a weapon out of materials that already exist and are controlled by laws that are already in place, in contrast to creating out of nothing the very materials of the universe and the laws that control them. And so if you can make something out of nothing, then you can turn something into nothing. And that's the Creator. The Creator can do that. Folks, the Creator always, always has the upper hand in the world. The Creator will always be victorious. God the Son, the Light, the Life will win. And you know, the powers of darkness know this. We may not understand this. We should. But the powers of darkness know this. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And look at verse 29. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. When Jesus confronted the demon-possessed man in the tombs, the demons themselves cried out to Jesus. And I want you to see what they said. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. They said, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time?" Do you see that? See that little phrase? Before the time. What's that mean, before the time? Those demons, those devils, those fallen angels know that a time is set for their destruction and everlasting torment in hell. And they know the light will be victorious. You know, we as God's children, we just get bombarded from every side of the world, and sometimes we forget that the light will be victorious. Sometimes that constant pressure from the world around us and the constant news and the constant things that just push and pull against us from this culture and this world, we forget what even the demons know. Amen. The demons acknowledge and they know that there's a time set when they will be cast into darkness, when they will be fully and finally defeated. Folks, it doesn't matter how black the darkness is, it will not overcome the light. It doesn't matter what policies come from Washington. It doesn't matter what judgments come from the Supreme Court. Are you listening? It doesn't matter what threats come from the Middle East. It doesn't matter the rumblings that take place from Wall Street. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Why? Because the light is the living, purposeful, growing, reproducing life of the Son of God. And the life is the light of the Creator through whom everything was made, including principalities and powers and the angels that fell into darkness. If that's not enough, there is one final reason. Look at verse 1. The light will win because the light and the life is God. Not only is the light a living light, not only is the life of this light the Creator, but this life, this light, is God. Folks, God cannot be overcome. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, the light, the life, the Son of God. We know Him as Jesus. Look how John says it. He always existed. In the beginning was the Word. He is distinct and different from God the Father, and the Word was with God. And He is full and complete deity. And the Word was God. This light and this life that took on human flesh and dwelt among men is God Himself. And He cannot be overcome. He cannot lose. He cannot be defeated. And so here's the point. First sermon, 2014. Here it is. Bank on it. Live on it. Here's the truth that we begin this new year with. The light cannot be overcome by the darkness, because the light is alive and it's the light of life. And through this life, all things were made. And this light and this life is God. And we know Him as Jesus, Jesus Christ. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Be encouraged. Amen. Be strengthened. Take great comfort in the clearness of God's Word and the truth of God's Word. Folks, Jesus Christ has overcome the world of darkness. Live as lights in this dark world. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder that we so desperately need today, that darkness will not overcome the light. And Father, even when it seems so dark, even when it seems that the shadow of wickedness and evil has passed over us, we have the clear truth from Your Word that the darkness will not overcome the light. Thank You for Jesus. Father, may we as Your people, as the children of light, be encouraged and strengthened and built up by this simple but huge truth that the light is victorious. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You that all that was needed and necessary to win that victory, He accomplished. Thank You for our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help us now to live as lights in this dark world. And God, may the life of the Son of God that is within us shine brightly in every part of our lives for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.